Awesome. I want to start this year by talking a bit about prayer, all right? And I want to teach you guys one or two things that I think it's really, really going to help you, all right, in your prayer life. My heart is still quite a lot on this whole thing, this whole issue of the heart. Where is our hearts at? God will deal with the skills. God will, you know, put things together for us. For now, what he asks is, where's the blameless heart? Where's the heart that wants to follow me? I will help you along the way getting it right. All right? Now, can I just ask Carla, Carl, and Gadman, you guys quickly stand up just for a second. Okay. Now, what do these guys have in common? Who wants to take a chance? It's a little bit of a game. Come on. They are all worship leaders. All right? Just look at them. And they represent the band. I'm not going to ask everyone to stand. You've seen their faces before, right? I'm saying what I'm about to say with all the honesty in my heart. I will not take a worship leader of another church because he knows how to sing before 10,000 people, is up to standard with whatever is the requirements for jeans. Is it skinny? Is it short? You know, have the perfect hair. I won't touch it because I know what's in their hearts. And so putting them here is the safest thing we can do for this congregation. Amen? God is after our hearts. And so that is why we go for the heart with all this passion. You guys can take a seat. Can we give them a clap? Can we just honor them? I will not trade you guys for anyone. And that's the honest of my heart. Do you guys agree with me? Awesome. And so tonight I want to go to prayer for a while because this is where hearts are made. Prayer is where hearts are formed. This is where your heart will make it or it won't make it. All right? Now, let me just share one or two things before we get into scripture tonight. I can share many messages here. This is the fifth year. I'm starting my fifth year in this town. I'm very glad to be. I love this place. These messages that I preached in 2014 that I think is long forgotten. People will not remember me by what I preached, but the person I became. If you are a small group leader, you can work out the best small groups every week. People will remember in 20 years the person who you were. Prayer forms your heart. It shapes you. It is the place, probably the greatest place where you will be formed. You can redo your image through a makeup kit, right? You may look very different when you arrive on your wedding day, and that is amazing. You should look fantastic. Do it. But you cannot do that with your heart. It can only be unformed through prayer by neglecting it, or it can be beautified. And I would say, we should not rank spiritual disciplines what is more important than the other. Because when Christ tells us to do something, that is the most important thing for that moment. Whether that is to share with someone, to pray, to read the word, or to serve. It's all important. None is more important than the other. But let me tell you one thing. Prayer is first and foremost as important as the others. Let me tell you why. When you testify, you go there, right? You can't testify without you. Wherever you go, there you are. That's a great revelation, right? You are the one that serves in church. You are the one that leads the small group. You are the one that gets married. You are the one that becomes a mom or a dad. You are the one that works at Sasol. Here's the thing. Prayer changes your heart and you go everywhere with it. Prayer is firstly the thing you need to engage in before you step out. Does that make sense? And to cover prayer totally, you need a whole year. And tonight, I just want to land on one or two things and I might go on next week. Is that okay for you guys? What I also want to say before I start is prayer requires faith. But prayer also generates faith. All right? But you're going to have to jump into that cycle one way or another. You're going to have to bash your way in there. I'll tell you why. I'm one of those people who I operate very fast. If I get an idea, I must do it. I phone someone, let's go. And so I like to do stuff. And so often prayer is a faith challenge for me because I need to shut down all my plans to come before God. Can you see why it's a faith challenge for me? Because I want to do it. But first, I must connect with God in prayer. So for me to do something myself requires not to be lazy, to be hardworking, to be maybe energetic and to do it, but it doesn't require as much faith as prayer. So maybe you've got a heart for someone, you really want them to know God, and so you post them these photos 24/7 with scriptures on. Okay? You don't stop because you want them to change it. They won't. You need to speak to God first. You need to go to the place where you can do nothing and have faith. Prayer requires faith. I want to read something for us. It will be on the screen. This is Jesus sharing something about prayer. We're in Luke 11, verse 5. Great. And he said to them, "Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not give up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence," okay, or that can be persistence, all right? The fact that he's bold, that he's trying, that he's knocking, all right? "He will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. The one who knocks will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Let me just go back to that one word before we go on. Impudence or persistence. Now, the description of this word, it sounds more or less like this. A lack of sensitivity to what is proper. That's what this person have to knock and wake his friend up in the middle of the night. He's got a lack of sense that his friend is sleeping. It's rude in a sense. Are you with me? All right? Let me tell you something about God. Christ tells these stories to engage our emotions. Now, when you hear the story about someone banging your door in the middle of the night, it brings an emotion up in me. Who does that? I mean, who feels like that? I mean, who bothers? I mean, imagine you've got a friend that every night at 3 o'clock, they phone you on your landline, because your phone will be on silent, just to chat to you. Okay? That is the emotion Christ wants you to feel here. And here's why. Why does Jesus commend this person? Why is it okay for this person to bang on the door when his friend is sleeping? This is about prayer, not about bread, all right? It's about asking. I'll tell you something about God. He never sleeps with his family. He never sleeps. And so he's waiting for you to bang on his door and to ask him for bread. Because you've got piles of it. You see, he's different than mankind. What is often rude and doesn't make sense for men, God welcomes. I want you to be like that person. God forbid you stay away because you don't want to bother me. We often think like that. I can't bother God. Look what I've done. No. Have a lack of sensitivity to what is proper and bang on God's door and ask for help. Amen? So we're talking about a perseverance here, right? A perseverance, endurance, a uitdouvermoë in gebed. And Christ likes this. He's pointing to this. And so my question today is, persevering in prayer, what is it and how does it look like in your life tomorrow morning or tonight if you pray? What does this type of prayer look like that Jesus just commends? It's all I want to help you with tonight. Wat is 'n gebed wat gevul is met uithou vermoë? Wat nie opgee nie. Hoe lyk dit? Does it mean you pray, you don't go to work tomorrow, you pray the whole day? Okay? Does it mean if there's a situation, you should be on your knees until it is resolved? Should you persevere until all the mist is cleared, until that relationship is restored? How should you persevere? That's what we're on to tonight. There's a guy that captured this definition of persevering in prayer quite awesomely. Can we just have that next slide up? Then we'll do a practical. Persevering in prayer is the capacity, die vermoë, to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances with a hopeful fortitude of a heartful hope that resists the weariness of defeat. All right, so when a person that does not have persistence in prayer stops praying, the person with persistence in prayer, even though he's also for a moment bothered and he feels, oh, I don't even know if this prayer is working, he still prays. When the one is discouraged and he stops, the person who's persevering in prayer, he just pushes through. He says, God, I'm not going to stop calling. I'm not going to stop knocking. And he keeps up his hope. Even if his heart is discouraged, if his heart is giving up, his mouth still prays. That's what it means to persevere in prayer. Something I would love us to grow in this year. So how does this look practically? That's the question. How does this look like? What does it mean? When is the persevering prayer over? If you're praying for some other thing that's really draining your life, it's a massive thing. Someone, I don't know, someone walked away or you don't have a job or whatever this thing is, you just realize how hurt you are from something that happened. That person, you know, shouted at you again. What does persevering in prayer mean? Does it mean that you never stop that day until the relationship is resolved? What does it look like? Let's find out. We're going to do Psalm 55 together. David does this very well. He is the ultimate perseverer in prayer. Are you ready? It's quite a bit of verses. Just hang on. I'm going to go fast because we don't need to unpack every single verse. We just need to see the heart that is there. So he starts, give ear to my prayer, O God. Very important. What is coming is not a letter to a friend. It is a prayer unto God. Are you with me? He says it. So here starts my prayer. What is coming now out of my lips, Lord, it's unto you. And then he starts. He says, attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan. I cry, that's what they say. Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. At this stage, he's running from King Saul. They're chasing him. He's hiding in caves. He just feels like the whole world is coming down. Where's the people that once loved me and cared for me? Lord, attend to me, is what he's saying. My heart is in anguish within me. Check that out. Ek is omgekrap. No one understands. My heart is broken. I don't know, Lord, which way. I can almost see him barely getting out the words. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Goes on. Fear and trembling come upon me and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I have wings like a dove. I would fly away. I just end this. Be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and the tempest. It goes on. Can you see everything we're reading now is among the same tone? He's saying, God help, God help. He goes on, he says, destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst, oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplaces, for it is, here's the key, it's not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It's not an adversity who deals insolent within me, then I could hide from him. So he's saying, a friend betrayed me. This is what the psalm is about. Goes on, he says, but it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. Right? There's no greater pain than those who are the closest to you, right? And this is what this psalm is about. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng. Let death steal over them, let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place. Okay, this guy's praying. And here's the thing. Here's the change. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning, at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. The first thing of a persevering prayer, I'm going to give you three P's, is a petition. A petition is, Here I help, mate. Das iets wat jou pla. Something is on you. I read a long piece of scripture. It's one petition. Lord, they are out to kill me. How did I end up here? If you don't help me, I wish I could run away. I wish I was a bird that I could just fly. Lord, here's my petition. I am in great danger. That's how the persevering prayer starts. Something moves you to pray. You may be praying for someone you love. You may be praying for something in your life. You are feeling it, your finances. You are feeling it that you're not talking to your mom or dad. It is pressing on you. And so this pressing, this thing you in your life experience, the first step of victory is you go to God with it and you make your petition. To you, O God, I pray. All right? Now, this is the first place some people don't get here, okay? I pray for you guys to get this. At this stage, some people will just make a Facebook post. Party mense in die wêreld. You know, I always have something to say about Facebook. Forgive me for my sins. But Facebook oppresses me from all sides. I feel squashed in my cave. Anyways, he puts out a petition for 17 verses. It's just moaning and groaning. But the beauty of it is he's being nakedly honest with God. This is me, Lord. I want to get away. That's the petition. The greatest part of this psalm is the petition. And here's the big swing. He said my heart was in anguish. Can you remember that? Here's the swing. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. Look at this. He redeems my soul. Did his circumstances change at that moment? No. His heart changed. He prayed, he complained, he moaned, but he did it unto God up to a certain stage where something shifted. Suddenly he felt saved. Suddenly he moved from feeling a heart of anguish to, my soul is in safety. What happened? He prayed and he persevered until he experienced the safety of God. Nothing changed on the outside. Nothing. There was no reconciliation yet with that person. At this moment, there's no change in that finances. At this stage, your dad is still not talking to you. At this stage, it's unresolved. But you have prayed until peace came upon you. The second P of persevering prayer is the peace of God that meets you in the cave, in the distress, in the place where you're at. But if you can't get to petition in prayer, you can't get peace. What you then get, if number one does not happen, you get a circular run. You go in circles. One day you feel okay, boom, down. One day you feel again, boom. Discredit God, next one, boom. I'm never going to do it again. 2 weeks, another one, boom. Circles. It's only once you get on your knees and petition that He moves your heart. Are you with me? I just want to give you another example. If you read Psalms, your eyes will open for this. David starts, God, everything is against me. Boom, you are my refuge. In the Psalms, somewhere, it changes. The peace of God falls on him in his circumstance. Here's just another one. In this Psalm, he starts with it. Okay, so the assumption could be that he started at a bad place. He wrote a few Psalms, but when he started this one, he already was in the peace of God. But check this out. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge. But watch the second half. Till the storms of destruction pass by. So at that moment, the storms of destruction is where? Just on top of God's wing, and he's just under the wing. All right? The storm is there. The circumstances have not changed, but he has prayed himself into peace. So, Daniel comes down to if Daniel needs to so. Let's say this is a burden, even a swar, ne? By a swar, yes, claim. Now, this burden, this is ESV Bible. Just give it a name for you. Maybe finances, or whatever is maybe burdensome in your life that you've experienced the last while. The only way this thing will lift is through petition in prayer. Coming before God. You will feel better than now. But she still has the problem. But what God has done is He's changed her now. Her emotions is now in God, which makes it stable to make wise decisions and to do well so that God can walk her out of this circumstance. If she remains, kan jy stadig squat dan nou? This might happen. And it might lead to the next one. To the next one, to the next one. Persevere in prayer until the burden lifts. Thank you, Daniel. We practice that before church. Net Daniel. So how long do you pray? Till every circumstance you hope would be different is resolved? No. You can't do that. You'll never come out for work. Won't happen. My wife's going to pray for me her whole life. She'll be locked in a room forever if there's, you know, all these things she wants to see in me comes to fruition. So God be with her and you guys can pray for her. So you pray until there's a lifting. And you experience that. I experience that. You pray about something and you're like, whoo. Sometimes because I'm going at a fast pace a lot of the time in my life, I don't realize the pressure's on me. And every now and then, I'll sit around the dinner table and I'll take a breath like this. And my wife will say, what is wrong with you? And I realize I'm acquiring pressures. And I need to go to my room. And I come out a different person, but nothing has changed yet. But maybe God has freshened up my mind. Maybe I know, discover now who I must phone. Maybe I realize that I should repent of something. All right? If you want to, also if, Daniel, het hierdie geoefen, jy moes al hier gestaan. Okay. If you want to get this off your head, you cannot get it off without laying down your crown as well. If you want to keep your crown, you're going to keep this. If you want to persevere and endure in your own way, then you must carry this. The only way to lay this down is to lay down your crown as well. I come to you in prayer, you show, I go. Amen. Thank you, Daniel. That was goed. Then he goes on and he's now at a place of peace, and he speaks at verse 19. He says, God will give ear and humble them. Now he's starting to see the light. God will come through for me on his time. He who is enthroned from old, because they do not change and do not fear God, God will humble them. Just want to go on to verse 22. And then he says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. What is he doing here? He's starting to praise. God is the one who takes burdens like mine, which is so many. He will never let the righteous be moved. Can you see the difference between this verse and my heart is in anguish? You see, he has moved through his prayer from petition to peace to praise. Oh Lord, my circumstance has not changed yet, but I see in you everything I need. I will rely on you. Persevering prayer looks like this. How it will look like in your life will be different than mine, because the pressures or the Bibles on your head is different than mine. They're marked with different words. But the only way to go and to grow is through persevering in prayer. I cannot do that for you. And the worship team, Carl and Karan Garmu, can't do it for you. And your small group leader cannot do it for you. We can bring you so near. We can bring you so near to that water that you must just open your mouth, but you have to do it. If you stand here on a Sunday, you may experience everything. And when there's a moment where maybe I say, just close your eyes and open your ears, and you say, I won't. The person next to you may experience great freedom, but you won't. You have to lay down your crown and seek him, petition until peace, and then praise. Amen? Does that make sense? That is persevering prayer. Almost done. Peace can only come, next slide. The peace of God can only come with trust. You have to trust God, because this circumstance may be resolved, maybe not. Maybe what your heart desires is, it may happen, maybe not. Let's be realistic. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. And your desire, your tears may be spilled over something you will never get. I'm just crushing some dreams. I'm sorry. But the only reason you won't have it is because it's not good for you. He will open his hand and give you everything that will give you life, joy, and peace in God. And so at this moment of peace, when the burden lifts, you need to trust him that what will happen now, it is in God's hand. Be it this way, praise God. Be it that way, praise God. Are you with me? Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. What is Jesus saying there? I don't want to die on that cross. I don't want to take all that beatings with that stuff that pulls the flesh out of my body. If there is another way, And you turning away from me so that and allowing myself that Satan befalls me. No, Lord, if there is another way. But your will be done. Can you see the trust of the Son in the Father? Grow your trust in God. It looks like this. God always will hear the prayers of his people. If he says yes, go to the next slide. You say, thank you, Lord. My heart was in anguish. I prayed and you delivered me. I'm not in the cave anymore. I'm king. It happened in David's life. Thank you, Lord. You did it. If he said no, Father, you know best. Whew, that's hard, eh? I see it in my son. He can't even gras neer spelen. 2 hours later. Ek wil my skoene hê, ek wil nie my skoene hê nie. Ek wil eet, ek wil eet. We do that. ons gooi ons streke. Listen, he loves you so much. If he says no, you say, Lord, you know best. So work in my heart that I can be absolutely excited for what your yes is. Absolutely. Your will be done. If he says not now, he says, Lord, prepare me. You respond joyfully to whatever he says because you trust him. He sees what you cannot see. Amen? Persevering in prayer. I would love us not to be a church with a lot of people where our prayer lives is the shallow. God protect us. Protect me from having that ideals. Change hearts. Let the young believers come in and learn to know you, but let us take them into prayer. It's where it starts, everyone. Without prayer, you're not moving beyond prayer. And it's the first base. There's no other way. If I go beyond prayer for a moment to serve in church, I've not dealt with my heart. My heart will fail me. I will stop. Something will happen. If I'm doing what I'm doing here, and it's not built in prayer, there's coming a day when I will crash. It can only work for God on a heart of prayer. Amen? Let's stand tonight and give our hearts to God in that way.